We've heard First Take.
I mean, it's just pathetic, but it's predictable.
We've heard Your Take.
You have to take care of the people and the athletes. Consider them more important than the money.
Now it's time for Jason's Take, exclusively on the First Take Your Take podcast.
The NFL offseason is fully giving us all the drama that we crave right now, all of the escapism that we're so desperate for. The question is, though, is Tom Brady headed for MVP status with the Bucs? I don't think it's that easy. It's that easy. It's First Take Your Take with Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I want you guys to chime in on this on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. You're going to hear a lot of First Take today debating whether or not Brady can go the Buccaneers and immediately become an MVP. I don't think it's that easy, and I want your thoughts. Who's going to be the MVP in the NFL next year? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. I'll say this every day, and I'm going to continue saying this for the short term and possibly for the long term. There's nothing that I can say or do to help right now with the bigger things going on in the world. We'll continue to keep you informed with that as much as we can as everybody tries to figure out how to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. That being said, what we can try to offer is some level of distraction. And maybe at its best, what we can do for the next couple of hours is dive into what we think might happen next year in the NFL season, if for no reason other than it gives us something else to think about. I want your thoughts, and we'll start with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. The Straight Talk is, we've been trying to let you get as much of your take in as possible over the last few days because it gives you a chance to vent. So, 888-SAY-ESPN, who do you think is going to be the MVP of the NFL next year? 888-729-3776. You'll hear what the guys thought. To me, this is not simple because I think we forget how spectacular Patrick Mahomes was last year. You're talking about 66% completion percentage, 4,031 yards, 26 touchdowns, 5 picks, a 105.3 quarterback rating. I mean, just that group of numbers alone on a Super Bowl champion reminds you how special, how incredible Patrick Mahomes is. But that being said, part of the reason everybody seems to be in love with the concept of Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers is because he'll have weapons. Weapons galore, and he'll have a coach in Bruce Arians that knows how to maximize it. That's the theory, at least. So, Lewis Riddick joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about the possibility of success at the MVP level for Brady.
In terms of the ability to be an MVP candidate, I'd say yes. Because here's the thing. Folks have been talking about how because he has arrived in Tampa Bay, that they expect and anticipate that Tom Brady will be in the playoffs. Well, guess what? With this offense, with a Mike Evans, with a Godwin, with an O.J. Howard, with a Brady, these boys, okay? What if this dude ends up actually winning the NFC South over Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints? I think automatically you'll look at people talking about Tom Brady in an elevated fashion in regards to potential league MVP consideration and things of that nature. I'm looking at a defense that was ranked 29th, Lewis Riddick, 29th in points forfeited, but only 15th in terms of yards allowed. What does that tell you? That brings the 30 interceptions that Jameis Winston accumulated into consideration. The bad field position, the kind of compromising position he put them in because they constantly had to come back on the field because of his damn interceptions, even though he did throw for 5,100 yards and 33 touchdowns. The reality is that Tom Brady hasn't thrown more than 14 interceptions in a season, I think, in his career, at least in the last decade. And so when you look at it from that perspective, his ability to protect the football and to give the defense rest, defense is going to be better. Offense is expected to be a juggernaut. If they can win the NFC South, I think Tom Brady is going to warrant consideration for league MVP honors.
Yeah, you know, when I first saw this question, I was starting to think about this. Well, I mean, there's so many unknowns, right? I mean, how could we even go this far ahead, jump this far ahead to even have a discussion about whether or not he could be in the MVP? But for the sake of discussion, okay, think about this is all going to come down to relationships again. It always does. It always does. His relationship with Bruce Arians, his relationship with Byron Leftwich, his relationship with Tom Moore, his relationship with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. And I think, okay, has Bruce Arians ever been in a similar situation where he has taken a veteran quarterback who many people thought had maybe hit the wall, was maybe done. His best days were behind him. And had he ever helped elevate an older quarterback's play to the point where all of a sudden he was in the MVP conversation? Yeah, he has. He did it for Carson Palmer when they were in Arizona. And I remember bringing that up when Carson Palmer was having that year before he got hurt when the Arizona Cardinals went to the playoffs and lost to the Carolina Panthers. And people going, well, he can't be in the MVP conversation. He's not that good. I'm like, look at his stats. Yes, actually they are. Well, if you think now about Tom Brady, and let's just project, let's just assume that there's not much drop off this year as far as ball speed, arm strength, his willingness to stand in the pocket, take hits. You know, let's just say there's not much drop off. Let's assume that. Go back to week two last year in New England when they were playing the Miami Dolphins, when Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon were playing, and Julian Edelman, and all these guys were healthy. And think about that game, and think about how he diced them up. I know it was the Miami Dolphins week two, and we can't really, you know, extrapolate too much from that and project it forward. But just think about how he threw the football in that game, and how sharp he looked, and how on point he looked. Now think about him with the weapons that he has down there, and let's assume that him, Tom Moore, Bruce Arians, and Byron Leftwich get on the same page. And you're right, Stephen A., let's assume that the defense continues to improve under Todd Bowles, Kevin Ross, Nick Rapone, all the people on the defensive side of the ball. And let's just assume this. Let's just assume Tom is happy. Let's assume Tom is in a good place, that he is having fun, as Steve Young talked about, that it isn't the grind anymore that it can be in New England under Bill's tutelage. And that's not to knock Bill, but that's just the way it is. Let's just assume Tom is going to play carefree. And then also let's assume that everyone else in the media is going to be rooting for Tom, and everything that he does, they're going to absolutely just magnify times 10 because he's Tom Brady, and maybe he deserves it at this point in his career. There's no question he could be in the MVP conversation. Now, I know that's maybe getting ahead of ourselves, but if you really think about it and add all those factors up, why wouldn't he be?
I don't see it. First of all, let me address you, Stephen A. Own it. If you go back and look what I told you, first, I used language I didn't like off the first show. What I said was he's going to be a bum in short order, and I was using it colloquially and not literally. So the following show, I said, look, let me explain what I mean. And I explained, I said, just a guy, like a starting NFL quarterback, but not a star. I even said at that point, you could win a Super Bowl with that guy. When I say he exceeded the prediction of the cliff by 1 year, he was that kind of quarterback when he won the Super Bowl against the Rams. It was the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history. Belichick recognized the slippage. He built the team behind the defense and the run, and Brady was a game manager who's big on third down, much like a better version, because he was healthier, of Peyton Manning when Peyton was in Denver.
I think to have the conversation about MVP, specifically in regards to Tom Brady, you can't look at it in a vacuum. I mean, you have to start looking at the success other players are going to have. First Take Your Take, I'm Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who's going to be the MVP next season in the NFL? Kalen, Missouri, who you got in this? What's your take?
It's definitely going to be Patrick Mahomes. He would have been right in the thick of things with last year if he wouldn't have been injured for a couple of games. We would have been talking about him the same breath as Russell Wilson and everybody else.
Okay, so but the Chargers have stacked up on defense. Any worry about maybe getting a little bit more competition within the division, Kale?
Absolutely not. We've got Tyreek Hill that's the fastest man in the league. And then you've got all the other weapons around him. And then they're going to do something about that offensive line in the draft. Quote me. Watch. They will. They will be a better offensive team. I know that's rough to say. That's tough to say. But they will be.
And well, Kale, as a lifelong Raiders fan, I hope you're wrong. I hope your take is desperately wrong. But I think you're right. I mean, again, 66% completion, 4,031 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions for Mahomes, a 105 quarterback rating. I mean, we can't just talk about the performance of Tom Brady in a bubble and pretend that anything he does makes him the MVP. In fact, if you recall, I mean, we're looking at Drew Brees on a shortened season, obviously because of injury, still completed 74% of his passes for almost 3,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 4 picks. I mean, Drew Brees, if we're going to talk about old quarterbacks putting up big numbers, it's always weird to say when these guys are my age, but when we're going to talk about old quarterbacks putting up numbers, Brady would have to put up better numbers than Brees to be part of that conversation, wouldn't he? I mean, that to me seems absolutely crazy to think about. At some point, we have to look at it and say, okay, while Tom Brady may put up great numbers and he may have more success, I don't know that that could even lead to an MVP. Lance on Twitter says Josh Jacobs, 20 touchdowns, 2,000-plus combined yards. Lance, I wouldn't be mad at that, but Lucas is probably right. If we're going to look at running backs, he said Christian McCaffrey will have a big year with what could be an interesting pick. Unfortunately, he set his own bar pretty high last year, money on him to clear it. Lucas, he might get better, but this feels a little like Russell Westbrook, right? Once you see some level of greatness from somebody, all of a sudden, it's difficult to see how they take that next step and still get credit for it. Ryan Holmes says Dak bounces back with the Cowboys under McCarthy, wins the MVP. So let's see what they say there as we continue to move forward. So don't forget, by the way, wake up to double the good stuff this morning. Get more out of breakfast. Start your day with 2 for $4 breakfast sandwiches only at McDonald's during breakfast hours. Price and participation vary. Want you guys to be participating in who you think the MVP will be. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get one more in here. Dave in Jacksonville. Dave, who you got is your MVP? What's your take?
My take, it'll be Patrick Mahomes. I go to the guy where they say Patrick Mahomes. But when we think of Tom Brady, Tom Brady's not, this is the NFC South, which is the hardest division there is in NFL football the last 4 years. And you talking about he coming to the South? You're not playing against the East. The East was horrible. You got sorry Miami. You got half-baked New York Jets. And you got no-show Buffalo Bills. So you're playing against one of the best in the South, the New Orleans Saints. And then you got Carolina, which is going to be a tough out. And then you got Atlanta, which is going to be a tough out because they had talent. So he
now, you had me, Dave, until you said Carolina was a tough out. I think Carolina is going to be absolutely tanking. Like, I mean, Carolina this year I don't think is going to be a tough out. As much as I love Christian McCaffrey, Carolina, I'm taking out of this conversation. Atlanta, if you look at the back half of the season last year, was much better, and they just added Dante Fowler Jr. They're going to be able to get after the quarterback. I don't think that's a bad call, and I think we're all sleeping on the Saints. I mean, 13-3, I have no reason to think that they won't keep it rolling at some point. So to me, I do agree it's going to be a tougher division for them. I'm not going to include Carolina in that, but I do think it's a tougher out for Brady than he's used to having. Let's see, Gary in Philly, what's your take on the MVP conversation for next year?
How you doing? Yeah, it's a bit of a homer pick, but at least let's give Wentz some consideration because look what he did 2017 before he got hurt, right? Then, yeah, he didn't have a great year after he came back from the ACL. Look what he did last year with Stephen A. and Max at wide receiver, right? You get him some weapons. I'm not saying he's definitely going to be the MVP, but he's going to be in the conversation just like he was in 17.
I mean, it is fair when you've seen somebody get there before. Maybe there's some logic that they can get there again, especially as much hype as the Eagles always get. Kenny in Kentucky, what's your take? Who you got is the MVP next year?
I got Big Ben Roethlisberger coming back from injury. You got Duck Hodges, 4-string quarterback, and darn near made the playoffs. You got Minka Fitzpatrick. You've got Dupree. You've got Watt on defense. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, you just gave me all their defensive weapons. I mean, we still haven't seen Juju step up and be the number one that we need him to be, right? So, I mean, Big Ben comes back. Are there enough weapons around him to put up the numbers to compete with Mahomes? That's tough for me to see. You just gave me a great case on why the Steelers are a playoff team next year. And it's possible that Ben comes in, he's healthy, and all of a sudden finds himself in the comeback player of the year conversation. That I can also buy. But again, when you talk about MVP, I think you're talking about incredible numbers, not just good numbers, incredible numbers. It's going to take that 4,000 yard, 25 to 30 touchdowns and single digit interceptions to even put yourself in that conversation. I don't know that the Steelers have the weapons to do that. In the meantime, all this quarterback conversation takes us to another quarterback we're talking about, as we all know that Nick Foles is headed to Chicago. So with Nick Foles headed to Chicago and obviously Wentz, who we just talked about in Philly, there was an interesting debate as Lewis Riddick joined Max and Stephen A to talk about who's more likely to have more success. Is it Foles in Chicago or Wentz in Philly?
Well, I like Foles in Chicago because I think that Chicago's defense is elite, and they just need a quarterback with the magic to get some things done in key moments. Mitchell Trubisky is not a scrub, but he comes up small on too many occasions, and obviously that's led to a heightened level of criticism aimed in his direction, because also you got to remember the stigma that comes attached to Mitchell Trubisky. It's just undeniable. The Chicago Bears not only passed up on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, not in that order, Mahomes first and then Patrick Mahomes, in order to get Mitchell Trubisky, they actually moved up in the draft to do it. And so when you look at it from that perspective, anytime somebody knowing football the way Chi-Town does with that rabid fan base, to know that Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson could have been your quarterback, every time you look at Mitchell Trubisky, you're measuring him against them, whether directly or indirectly, subliminally or directly. It does not matter. That's what you're doing. And so the arrival of Nick Foles changes that to some degree. He's his own man, per se, having led the Philadelphia Eagles to a Super Bowl championship, beating Tom Brady in the Super Bowl in the process. Then the following year, when Carson Wentz goes down again after going 5-6 in 11 games, Nick Foles resurrects their season, guides them to the playoffs, and a playoff victory over the Chicago Bears. You got to look at those 2 years. Nick Foles is somebody they remember all too well. They know he's proven he can get it done, and he doesn't have the veneer of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson hovering over him. I think that's a plus. I think that puts Chicago in a better position than it puts Philadelphia right now, and that's why I would say Nick Foles to Chicago is the better thing to look forward to.
Ready for this, Stephen A.? Carson Wentz with the
Eagles.
Yes, sir. Let me tell you something. I know I'm known as the anti-Wentz guy or the anti-Brady guy. I ain't anti-Brady. I'm just... It's not that I'm pro Father Time. I just acknowledge that brother's undefeated Father Time. Never lost. Bernard Hopkins almost fought him to a draw, but even B-Hop eventually lost to Father Time. So that's what the Brady stuff is about. The Wentz stuff, the reason I'm perceived that way is because I have high expectations for Wentz. And I see the way unconsciously people lower it for Wentz. He regressed badly last year. Even at the end of the season when people were all high on him, he was playing the worst division in history and faring worse against those teams than other quarterbacks who were nothing to write home about were faring in his own division. So he would follow up impossibly great throws that only maybe Mahomes or one or two other guys can make, Rodgers, with bad football decisions, bad execution, etc. It was happening a lot. So that's why I was down on Wentz. But never mistake this. Carson Wentz is an all-world talent. The reason I'm down on him is he should be top five. So if he's top 12, top 14, that ain't good enough. You paid him to be top five. He's shown you he can perform at top five levels, and my money has got to be on that guy entering his prime. Foles to the Bears I love because you have an athletic quarterback who's underachieved in Trubisky. Foles competes with him, and at any rate, you can, you know, pushes him and can always take over the reins, particularly with the money on the line, familiar coaching staff, all that stuff. It's a great signing for Chicago. But if the question point blank is who's more to look forward to, it is a top five talent in Philadelphia that we've already seen perform at MVP level. I once again have high expectations for Carson Wentz, and I intend on holding him to them.
Yeah, who am I looking forward to? Who do I think, you know, would you look forward to seeing play this year more so? Look, I'm going to say Carson Wentz, although I'm going to talk about Chicago as soon as I say this about Carson Wentz. You have to understand that the situation and the circumstances that this young man was asked to perform under last year in terms of how many weapons he lost and how every single week Doug Peterson was putting together a game plan from scratch with people who really he had to teach from scratch exactly what to do and had no margin for error in terms of his play calling in order to get people to be exactly where they needed to be. And Carson every week was having to play above and beyond what he normally would have to play because of the lack of weaponry. What he did last year, putting that football team in his back, throwing for the amount of yards that he threw for under the circumstances he had to throw them, and still getting them into the playoffs is nothing short of extraordinary. If you talk to anybody in that organization, namely you talk to that head coach, what Carson Wentz did last year with very, very minimal weaponry is extraordinary. flat out extraordinary. They won't let that happen again as a front office. They can't let that happen again. And here in the second wave of free agency and then on to the draft, I promise you, they better after. Look, they got Darius Slay today, and they needed to do that as far as shoring up their secondary, particularly on the corner. But they better get Carson Wentz some weaponry. They can't have a repeat of last year. You cannot waste this kid. He is special.
It's interesting to me. First Take, Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio. The pressure that's created in both of these conversations about quarterbacks is vastly different. The pressure is on the Eagles organization as a whole to get weapons around Carson Wentz. I acknowledge that. The question, the pressure for the Bears, however, is much different. I think the pressure there is on Matt Nagy to be able to make the most out of a quarterback now. Because remember, he's supposed to be the brilliant play caller that could get the most out of Mitchell Trubisky, and he did for a second. But now he gets a quarterback that we all know succeeds in Nick Foles only when it's tailored to be able to be successful. So we've seen Foles be successful when people have come in and said, what do you run? How can we run it? And how can we make it work? If Matt Nagy's willing to do that, it means he'll have to make a commitment to the strengths of Nick Foles, no matter what that means to the strengths of Mitchell Trubisky. That puts him in an interesting spot, but the pressure suddenly lies squarely on his shoulders to be creative and innovative as a play caller to get the most out of his quarterback. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils get the most out of everything. They're made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence A 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. I want you guys to keep chiming in on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. Tell me, who's going to win the NFL MVP next season? 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Coming up, though, the NBA caught some flack from the mayor of New York City, and Commissioner Adam Silver responded to that yesterday in a great interview with Rachel Nichols. You'll hear from the First Take crew about that next. But first, I need to tell you about my computer career. And you guys know that I talk about this all the time as I keep telling you everything you need to know about my computer career. And we do that as I pull up the information on my computer career because I need to tell you about Daniel. At some point, you have to look at your opportunity to change your life in the next 4 months. That's all it takes with my computer career. That's part of what makes it absolutely spectacular. When you look at what you can do in just a little bit of time, you can't believe everything on social media, but you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in just 4 months, even with zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week, so it's super easy. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Hear Adam Silver respond to the city of New York. And what did First Take think of that? You'll hear it next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
You guys can chime in. We're asking you who's going to win the NFL MVP this season because on First Take today, they had the debate about whether or not Brady is destined for that with the Buccaneers. We'll take your thoughts. 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776 is how you can do that. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We're getting a lot of comments there. And really, frankly, everybody seems to be all in on Patrick Mahomes. Give me somebody else. Think outside the box. We can all say Patrick Mahomes. Give me somebody else. Let's think outside the box and see what else we can come up with. In the meantime, there's a lot of conversation about Adam Silver, who last night went on with Rachel Nichols on SportsCenter and really openly, honestly talked about the NBA and their response to coronavirus. Stephen A. started off a segment today with First Take talking about this entire response, Adam Silver, and really where all this has led to.
Well, I completely agree with Michelle Roberts. I'm going to miss as executive director of the NBA Players Association, by the way, once she steps down. But I got to tell you, I think that her comments were right on the money. Nobody wants to hear from an elected official trying to hold somebody else accountable when we all know there's a whole bunch of people that are elected officials that we could hold responsible, you know, from the top on down. And when she highlighted the federal government, well, guess what? You have state governments that obviously have the ear of the federal government. And some people believe that there was a dereliction of duty on their part in terms of pushing for more emphasis and more focus on this issue that has now invaded this nation and this world. And so when Mayor de Blasio comes out and he says such a thing, I just think that it was irresponsible. I think it was a little bit political, to say the least. And I don't think he had any business saying that at all. I appreciate Commissioner Adam Silver highlighting the fact that, again, when Oklahoma City and Utah were in the arena the night that we learned Rudy Gobert had tested positive, they were held there by public officials, by public health officials in Oklahoma City. They were not allowed to leave the arena. And Michelle Roberts is alluding to other tests that have taken place since then. It's because you have a plethora of athletes that may have shown symptoms of what have you. Who knows who and what they may have been exposed to. And because they're in the public eye and they're subjected to other individuals that may not want to practice social distancing and things of that nature, you've got to send the message to make sure that, again, they're okay. If they're not okay, you want people to know that, because there's no shame in contracting this virus. It's not like anybody did anything wrong or anything like that. And so those are other important elements to bring up as well. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. This is not the time to be pointing the finger of blame or anything like that. It's also important to recognize the fact that, yes, these are multi-million dollar athletes. It is a billion dollar entity that is the NBA. And what you have is a situation where, even though you might be following the advice of public health officials, you also have folks that have the ability to go to private entities in order to get tested and things of that nature. So it's really about making sure that the tests are available to the public, which they have no control over whatsoever. Anybody that's showing the symptoms, if you have the means to get yourself tested, you definitely should do so. And it really just comes down to that.
As usual, and Michelle Roberts says something, it's right on the money. But you know, I think back to Trump saying anyone who needs a test is going to get a test. So the presumption early on was that there were enough tests, and obviously there aren't. And who knows who needs a test? Have you been in contact with someone who has the coronavirus? Right now, that's the standard. You have to either prove that you've been in contact with someone or come from a place that's considered a hotspot. But what if you just come down with symptoms? Or what if you just want to know because you know you're going to be around other people? And so the NBA has a legitimate point of view. What de Blasio's talking about is social responsibility, and that's one of the tricky things about all of this, the social responsibility, because what you're being asked to do is not to keep yourself safe from coronavirus, but to behave as though you already have it so that you don't spread it.
First Take, Your Take. I'm certainly not here to get into a political discussion about how any of this went down or why it continues to go down. I will say one thing that I'm going to continue to say loudly about the words of Adam Silver yesterday that I've been saying about the NBA for a week at this point. Adam Silver sat there last night and actually said at one point, you know, if Rudy Gobert hadn't tested positive for it, we don't know, maybe we'd still be playing. In fact, because of this, it managed to start this whole trickle effect and made it sound like a positive. Remember, it was a packed arena full of fans. Even though they knew there was a possibility that Rudy Gobert had been tested, they knew there was a possibility. They still let that arena turn around and get packed. And in fact, they still let other games play on. So before I turn around and give a slow clap and a standing ovation to the NBA for being at the forefront of all of this, I want to at least acknowledge the fact that their hand was forced by the fact that they had a player test positive for it. Any league that was going to have that happen was going to be the first to shut down operations, because guess what? You have to at that point. So before I turn around and slow clap and say, job well done, Adam Silver, let's at least acknowledge the fact that they were as money hungry as everybody else when they were still letting fans sit in those seats, when they still let games go on throughout the course of the country that night before they canceled everything. I am tired of us propping up the NBA like they are perfect through all of this, and everybody else like they were late to follow. So forgive me if I'm not on that bandwagon. It's First Take, Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio. We're asking you to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who's going to be the NFL MVP this season? Oh, you know I'm taking Al in Pennsylvania, because frankly, I like your answer. Al, who you got as the MVP?
Hi, Jason. Thanks for taking my call. I like Derek Carr.
Woo! Tell me why.
I mean, I have been a Raiders fan since the mid-1960s. And I'll tell you what, you know, Derek Carr had a very underrated season last year. He had a very good year last year. And I don't think the Raiders were losing because of Derek Carr. I think their defense has got to step it up a little bit more, get Derek Carr that ball maybe four or five more possessions per game, and I think the Raiders can hang right in there with Kansas City for the whole year.
So Al, you know, I love the call.
Stepping on their defense.
You know that I love this. And by the way, the Raiders have had a quiet but I think strong offseason already because they've addressed some of those defensive pieces. What if I told you last year, 70% completion percentage, 4,054 yards, 21 touchdowns, 8 picks, quarterback rating of 100. That's Derek Carr without any weapons. Good luck telling me who his wide receivers were if you're just a common fan that didn't watch any Raiders games. So, you know, you give him some weapons. We'll see. Maybe that's just my hope right there. JJ in Cincinnati, who you got as the MVP next season?
I got Jimmy G as my MVP. I think that he's going to come in this season with a chip on his shoulder. And not only that, I think they're going to reload. They went into the season unhealthy.
Oh, we're losing him. He's got Jimmy G on that. I don't mind that call at all because, man, Jimmy G is going to come up fired up. Coming up, though, it sounds like the Rams are ready to move on from a superstar player. A little shocking. Does that mean that the Titans are correct in not signing Derrick Henry to a long-term deal? First Take had some interesting thoughts about the running back position. You'll hear next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests are on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. That's where you're hanging out with us, too. Who's going to win the NFL MVP this season? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get some thoughts on this from you guys. We have a lot of I can see here we got all the lines stacked, and everybody's giving us different answers. That's when you know we're doing well with it. You can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. Love it. In the meantime, there is some news today, as we have heard at this point, that according to reports, the Rams are shopping Todd Gurley. So the Rams, who just a couple of years ago were a Super Bowl contender, now look to be shopping Todd Gurley only a day after Dante Fowler Jr., who the Rams apparently, according to reports, were aggressively trying to keep, decided instead to go to the Falcons. It's a reminder that things have changed quickly in L.A. It's also a reminder that the running back position is hard to figure out. This is important for the Titans, who've at this point have franchised Derrick Henry, but are trying to figure out what to do long term there. Ryan Clark talked about this on First Take and how the running back position should be viewed.
Let's look at the dudes who are extremely special, the Saquon Barkleys, the Christian McCaffreys. I think those are guys who are going to get money when it's time for their contracts to be renewed, because we're going to see special traits in them, much like we saw special traits in Adrian Peterson. The rest of the guys are kind of just guys, right? Look at Nick Chubb, a second round draft pick. He's a Pro Bowler in Cleveland. Alvin Kamara, he goes in the third round to the New Orleans Saints. He's a guy who's now become a perennial Pro Bowler. So you can find these players in the draft that come in right away and make a difference on your team. And they don't have to be top 10 picks, even though Christian McCaffrey was. And so in that sense, you say, okay, we can find people in the draft that help our team win football games. Now let's look at the guys that get new contracts. Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, you can also go to Le'Veon Bell. Two of those people are not happy at all. right? If you listen to things coming out of LA, you listen to things coming out of New York, those are deals that many people think that they shouldn't have signed, or they shouldn't have allowed Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell to sign. And then you go to Ezekiel Elliott and you look at the $90 million that he got, the 50 plus guaranteed. This is a team that doesn't make a dent in the season, even though you have the highest paid running back. And so when you look at all of these things happening, it's starting to be, this is not only a situation like quarterbacks where you say, you know what? Once you pay a quarterback that big money, you can't win, right? Because you can't put things around him. You can't build. It's also becoming that once you pay that running back that big money, one, the production doesn't match up. And even if you get production, the production doesn't bring you championships. So when you put all of that together, if we were making gumbo, that would be a terrible pot of gumbo to eat, because all it points to is that running backs shouldn't get the top dollar. Running backs should be franchise. Running backs should be people that you pay well to keep them on your team, but you don't give them top of the market money every time it's their turn. And I think Melvin Gordon got a little bit of this when he came up. He wasn't a special talent. His numbers weren't exceedingly great, and the Chargers held out on giving him money. Now he's in limbo trying to figure out what his next step is going to be. And I think we're going to see this with more and more teams. So yeah, if you're a running back, you can hold out, but at some point you're going to have to realize this is what the value of my position is, not just this is what the value of what I bring to a team.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Part of the difficulty in the conversation, though, is every team is different. I mean, the value of the running back overall is one thing. The value of Derrick Henry to the Titans specifically, I think, is a much different thing, especially when you've just re-signed Ryan Tannehill to a massive deal. You've given Ryan Tannehill security. Don't you owe it to yourself to bring back every piece that you possibly can that gives you security moving forward? And that's what the Titans have to have. Their offense runs through Derrick Henry. I don't care. They need to have a back that can produce at a high level. If they don't have Derrick Henry, the question is who, and what effect does that also have on Ryan Tannehill? We're taking your thoughts on the MVP for next season. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Brian in San Jose, who you got? What's your take?
What's going on, brother? I got Tom Brady. I got the answer to everything. Number 42. You know, he's a 42-year-old man. He's going to come out there. I like Byron Leftwich, what he did with the offense last year. I think he actually has a improved staff with Mike Evans, you know, Chris Godwin. And when you really look at the numbers that Tampa Bay put up last year, it's within reason. I think they were third or fourth passing. Total offense was up there. I mean, really, everybody likes a good story. And what better story is it? I mean, he's an underdog now. So,
well, and I appreciate your take on it. I think one of the things that are difficult, though, all the things you just mentioned, production statistically, wins, age, those are all things that another quarterback in his division has been doing better than he has and likely will again this year. So how do you justify giving it to Brady in Tampa if his numbers don't eclipse those of Breeze in New Orleans? And I'm not sure that's easy to see. All right, Drew in Florida, who you got as the MVP next year? What's your take?
They're told to think outside the box. I'm going to go with Kyler Murray.
I like that.
Their schedule is complete cake. Being a Dolphins fan, I mean, they get to play the AFC East this year, and they get to play the crappy NFC East. Then they get to play the Panthers, who I don't think played defense last year, as well as the Lions, who just lost Slay. So I think that they have a great schedule. I mean, yeah, their division is tough, but I like their schedule, and I think that they have another year with Kingsbury. Not to mention, they got this really, really good offensive weapon named Hopkins that just to win the team. I just think he can close his eyes and throw the ball to Fitz.
And I like a lot of what you're saying here. I think, though, you've glossed over one of the most important parts, which is their division. I mean, to win the MVP, they're going to have to be at least competitive to win their division. They're going to jump from 5-10-1 to suddenly competing with the 49ers and the Seahawks to win the division. Man, that's a big stretch for me. But I love the outside-the-box thinking. By the way, if you missed any of the first hour, First Take Your Take, go check it out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, NA member FDIC. What I do like about that call, though, thinking outside the box, Kyler Murray is going to have a big year. I mean, that's why they went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. So I like that portion of it. So all of this MVP conversation. conversation brings us to another portion of the conversation that we're going to be having now and for the next several months, especially while we desperately wait for sports to return. Brady or Belichick, who will have more success next season? They got into it today on First Take, so you'll hear what that crew had to think. Plus, I'll give you my thoughts. And of course, we're going to take more of your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want you guys to load in, get it off your chest. Tell me who's going to be the MVP next season. That's all coming up. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and the ESPN News.
That was First Take. Now we want your take. Call in now, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.